how God is truly good. You know, this week I had an interesting opportunity. About once every couple of months, I attend a pastor's meeting that is the German pastors in the region. I meet with both English language and German language pastors, and this particular meeting takes place about once every other month and is the meeting of German Baptist pastors that are in our particular region. And so I attended this meeting. This past week was that meeting, and in Kalsterbach, the good news is there was coffee and cake. By the way, if you're interested, I chose the Bienenstich, and it was delicious. So just so you know, just so you're in the loop there. But it was a good meeting. These meetings usually are. I really enjoy them. We'll do one time it'll be for breakfast, and one time it'll be in the afternoon for coffee and cake. You're noticing a theme. You know, it's pastors after all. What are, you know, I mean, we like to talk and we like to eat. So that's just kind of belongs with it. That's just part of the plan. But it was also great because we have the opportunity to discuss all kinds of different things, everything from the organizational kinds of things that you might imagine happen in Baptist life, in any kind of organization's life. There's those kind of things. But we also talk about, for instance, this time we talked about what does it really mean to praise God, and how do you praise God in a worship service? Can you plan that, or does it take place because our hearts are in tune with God? It was a great discussion and really just a wonderful kind of topic that I wouldn't normally have the opportunity to discuss. So I really appreciate and enjoy these different meetings. But here's the truth of the matter. I kind of stick out. You may or may not believe it, but fairly soon they recognize that I am not a born Hesse. I wasn't born in Germany. It wasn't, you know, came here as soon as I could, but, you know, I wasn't born in Germany. And so I kind of stick out. And, you know, I always kind of wonder, okay, what do they think? You know, what are their thoughts on the subject of me being there? And I mean, they're very open and welcoming, and it's always a great fellowship, so that's not the question. But I do kind of wonder. And after this particular meeting, the person, the pastor who was hosting this particular time, I just talked with him a little bit, and he said, you know, I am so glad that you participate in these meetings. We need you. And then he said, and you need us. He said, I've noticed that at times, and we talked about the reasons for it, and there's a lot of reasons for it. He said, sometimes it seems like those in international churches tend to be loners. They tend to try to do it alone. And he said, here's the thing. Isolation is dangerous. Now, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting way of putting that, because I've often thought of isolation being lonely, you know, and to be honest with you, being a pastor is one of those vocations, one of those callings that can lead to loneliness if you're not intentional about connections and relationships. It can be one of those things in which you isolate yourself and end up being very lonely. But I hadn't really ever thought of it as dangerous. But here's the truth. He's right. Isolation can not only be lonely, it can be dangerous. And that's true not just for us as individuals, while it certainly is something that affects individuals, but it also affects churches. We've been going through this multiply study, and we've talked a lot about the individual discipleship and growth and that kind of thing. And then we've talked about what it means to be a body and work together and to really work against that isolation and have fellowship and connection with one another. But today we end this study, and we want to end the study really by looking at our connections beyond this place. That not only are we connected with one another, and not only is it important that we not isolate ourselves from one another because it's dangerous, but it's also important that we are connected in a bigger picture, that we understand our place and the fact that there are others who need us and we need them, that those connections that we have to other bodies and other groups and other churches are important, and they're not just important because, well, we have to because we're in this organization, but that it goes beyond that and that there are reasons, there are important reasons for us to be connected. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that we have important things that we do. I'm not talking about solitude as over and opposed against isolation. But it is so easy for both individuals and for us as a church to isolate ourselves and not understand what God is doing in the bigger picture. And so today we want to talk about the bigger picture. And I want us to do that by looking at Revelation 7, verses 9 through 10. This is a beautiful picture. You realize, and by the way, somebody asked me the other day, said, are we ever going to look at Revelation? Today's your day, for one. I mean, you know. But also, at the end of the year, we have a series that we are going to do on Revelation. So just so you know and can anticipate that, but also today's your day. Revelation 7, 9 through 10. And this is a picture of what it's going to be like when the brokenness of this world is healed, when we see the complete picture, when we have the big ending time and we're together for eternity. And so John is writing, and he writes in chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, I love the picture that's being painted here. Did you get kind of what's there? I mean, sometimes I think we read these things so quickly that we don't see what is actually here. John is giving us a glimpse into eternity, and what he first says is, it looks like an international church. Yeah, we knew that. You know, we already knew that this is a picture that looks like us. It is a picture of eternity. It is a picture of being together. There is a great multitude. He says, and this I looked, and behold, there was a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. There is this great multitude that is together. I grew up in a different denominational background. And whenever I made that decision and God just simply led through, I came to Christ through the ministry of Baptist student ministry on a campus, a university campus, and then through Bible study and all, I decided to join a Baptist church. And my family, who was from in a different denominational background, was very skeptical. And at one point, it was kind of almost like, you know, this picture of, as we talked, there was almost a little bit of this almost picture of, well, you know, there's going to be groups in heaven. And, you know, we're not sure every group's going to make it. And, you know, there's this group over here and this group over here and this group. That's not the picture. It is a great multitude that is together. There is no isolation in heaven. We are not isolated from one another. We're not picking and choosing. We are together praising the Lamb and bowing down before the Lamb. We are not isolated. Why in the world would God choose for us to be together for eternity and separated now and not working together where God gives us opportunity? Why would He have us together for all eternity and yet choose to isolate each of the groups now? I think there are bridges to be built. I think there are ways we can work and connect for the gospel and for the kingdom that lead to this great multitude. See, here's the thing. If God is going to call people out from every tribe, every people, every language, it is going to take all of us working together. And that means we can't separate ourselves from one another and do our own thing without at least looking and seeing what is our neighbor doing and how can we work together for the kingdom's sake. We are together. We're not isolated. We are together. This group alone represents what's happening here. It's international. There's every nation, tribe, and people. What is it? I've asked myself often, what is the role of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Wiesbaden? You know what? It is a unique role that God has called us to because of you. Do you not realize? Look around. We are so multicultural. We speak different languages. This is an amazing group of people. I love you, by the way. I love being with you. It is a blessing for Susan and I every single week and every day that God has placed us here. And you are unique, and that uniqueness is a blessing to you when we come together. This fellowship is a blessing and it is unique, but here's the thing, it is also a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We, because of who we are and our makeup and who we, how we function and the ways in which we function together, we have a responsibility in the kingdom that we must share. We must look at opportunities for how we can reach out into those unique places where only you can reach. We've had people walk through the door. One of my favorite stories is the Hungarian person who came, and someone brought them and said, well, they don't really speak any German. They really don't speak any English. All they speak is Hungarian. Well, that's no problem. We just happen to have people who speak Hungarian. We just happen to have people who speak many different languages and understand many different cultures. We are a people who can play a unique kingdom role. And in this picture of eternity, we are together. And then we are worshiping together. In this picture that John gives, he gives a picture of a people who are worshiping together, who are bowing before the throne, who have submitted themselves to the authority of Christ in their lives. Why do we think that would start in the kingdom, in the eternity? It starts now. Eternity is simply, you know, Jesus says that by this you will know that you have eternal life. You know when eternal life starts? The minute you turn your life over to Christ. You have stepped from a life that ends into a life that never ends. Eternity starts in that moment. So this is simply the fulfillment of that. This is the picture of when we change from this setting to the next setting. But it starts now. And we worship together and we submit our lives to Christ now. It doesn't start, submitting your life to Christ doesn't start whenever we cross that barrier into eternity. It starts now. Because only as we submit our lives to Christ will we understand the role that we are to play in eternity. Every action you take has eternal consequences. Now think about that for a second. Every action you take has eternal consequences. Now by that, I don't mean whether or not you choose the blue shoes or the black shoes. But I do mean how you interact with your neighbors, how you interact with one another, whether or not we choose to reach out to those that God has given us the opportunity to reach out to. Each of those decisions on whether or not we will play the role that God has called us to play impacts eternity. It will make this look different. That picture that John gives us. So as we look at this big picture, as we come together, as we accept this calling of God and we say, I want to be a part of that picture and the development of that picture right now, what does that mean? And as we look at what does it mean for us as a church to work together with others who are called according to that same purpose that God has for us, what does it mean? To what end do we connect with others in this bigger picture? Well, the first thing is simply learning from one another. You know, one of the things that I love is that in our context, we have the opportunity not just to know those from the Western streams of Christianity, but also the Eastern streams, the Orthodox streams. You know, now here's your history lesson for today. In 1054, there was a split in the early church, in that early developing church, East and West. And even today, Eastern churches, those in the Orthodox stream, emphasize the mysticism of Christianity, the mystery and the spiritual side of that, of being in communion with God. Whereas we in the Western side, we emphasize more the process of thinking through what does it mean to be a follower. We've done a very Western process with the whole thing that we've done with Multiply. It's not bad. That's who we are. That's our character. That's what we bring to the kingdom. But we can also learn from those who come from different streams of following Christ. We can learn whenever they say, I've heard someone say, read, whenever they talked about the differences between Eastern and Western Christianity, talking about you always look for the logical reasons why. We simply say, wow, look what God has done. And we simply need more of that. And we can learn. But not just that. We can learn from one another between the two churches that meet, three churches that meet in this building. And we can learn from one another. Part of this process of being a part of a bigger picture is simply that we have things to learn and we have things to teach. And are we willing to fulfill both of those roles as a congregation and as individuals? Are we willing to participate in such a way that we can fulfill both of those roles? Can we learn from one another, participate so that we learn from one another, but also can we participate so that we can help? Because we need both. Remember the conversation with that pastor friend who says, we need you, and you need us. And it rings true for us as a congregation as well. But also the missions element that is so central to what it means to being a church. It being a church means we are on mission. Here, surrounding areas, to the uttermost ends of the world, we are on mission. That's a part of our calling. That's a part of who we are. Whenever we have this concert on Friday, we're having this concert not because we want to hear great music, although we will. This is an opportunity for us as a congregation to reach out. We have also connected with other congregations and said, would you like to participate with us? Because it's a missions opportunity. If someone comes, they will hear the gospel. They will hear that God cares about children at the other end of the world who do not have the care they need. They will hear that our God is a God who loves and who reaches out, who wants to live in connection and relationship. It's a missions opportunity. We don't do it just to do it. It's an opportunity. We're going to Latvia this summer. It's an opportunity to work with a church there and connect with them. We have the opportunity to connect for missions. You gave $1,600 to make possible church planting through our global missions offering with the IBC. You gave enough money to help multiple churches plant and have resources available to them. But we also have the opportunity to worship together. We do that on a regular basis with the German congregation. We do that at large events that we do together. In August, that we're going to have a family retreat called Connect 17. It's an opportunity to worship with international churches like ours from all over, really, the world are invited, who will gather in the first weekend in August an hour and a half from us. What an incredible opportunity we have to worship and to learn and to grow. So we have reasons to connect with one another. So I want to tell you who we connect with intentionally. I want to tell you some of the places and some of the people that we connect with, because you need to know this is your connection as well. It's not just something I do. It's not just something the deacons do. It is something that we do as a congregation. We connect because it is important. It is dangerous to be isolated. For instance, we connect with those who are closest with us. They're like family to us. They're this Baptist family that extends in a number of different ways. For instance, we have a partnership with our German Baptist Church friends who meet here in this very building. And we have so many opportunities to meet together, to join together, to do things together, to have outreach together. In June, we're going to do a neighborhood party. Now, the truth of the matter is most of us don't live in this neighborhood. And most of the people that are in this neighborhood probably aren't going to come to our service. But we can serve together for missions to reach out to the people in this neighborhood. You'd be amazed at how many people are around here who do not know what this building even is. And we're going to reach out. We're going to try to touch them, and we're going to work together. But we have so many opportunities to worship, to learn, to grow together. But we're also a part of the International Baptist Convention. In fact, one of the things I would ask you to pray for is Herman Stout. Herman and Herbert Stout started this church in 1957. And Herman has just been put in, has advanced Parkinson's and has just been put into a care facility. And so to pray for this family of the people who started this church. This church was the very first church in the what is now International Baptist Convention. Those two brothers started this church, and then a couple of years later started church, which is now Bethel in Frankfurt. And those two churches started that organization, which now stretches around the world. And you're a part. In fact, if it were not for this church, who knows if there would be an IBC. And we connect with them. That's who received that offering that we took over the Easter season. And they then turn, use it for missions and outreach and new church plants. We also connect. We're a part of not only the IBC, but also the German Baptist Union. We're a part. We are a German Baptist church in that God has planted us as an international church right in the middle of Germany, Wiesbaden, Germany. God is great, and God is so wise, and He knows that we need to both learn and to help our German Baptist brothers and sisters in the ministry to the country as a whole. And part of their emphasis over the last 2 years has been the international church. What an incredible opportunity we have to help and to be a part of that. So we connect with them. It's important to us. But we also connect with those with whom we share much. We're kind of like cousins, you know. We're a little bit more distant family, but we're family. We believe in those core beliefs that we have as believers in Christ, and we share those beliefs. And so our church is a part of the Evangelical Alliance in Wiesbaden. And those are churches that are evangelical churches. They have those fundamental beliefs. And we share and we work together, and we have many opportunities in which we can work together and grow together. But we also are a part of the universal church, of the body of Christ around the globe. We're a part of that. And what happens on the other side of the world should be important to us. So often, we hear about the persecution of believers in other countries. It should break our hearts, because those are brothers and sisters in Christ, and their suffering should be a suffering that we help carry and that we work to we pray for them. We should join with them in their suffering. We should join with them in prayer. And God gives us opportunity also to join with them in mission, in reaching the corners of the earth. We may never get to some of those corners, and yet there are believers there. And how can we help support, encourage, and be a part of that? I go back to my story at the beginning, and I really kind of come with a question, two-part question. One is simply, have you chosen the path of isolation or of being connected, of being a part? Have you chosen to isolate yourself? You know, we've talked about the fact that this is not only something that affects the church, but it also affects us as individuals. We need connection. We need connection at this level, but we also need connection in the larger level. So the first question is quite simply, which path have you chosen? Have you chosen to isolate yourself? We usually do that for one of two reasons. We're either afraid, or we simply don't wish to connect because we don't want to invest in others. We don't want to take that strength, that energy that it will take in order to connect with others. Now, I know that in our church, it is challenging to invest because we have a lot of movement. We have a lot of people who come in and come out. And it takes a lot for both sides, those who come in, it takes a lot of energy to say, I want to invest in these people. On the other side, it takes a lot for those of us who are here longer term to say, I want to invest in those people. We need each other. We need those who are here long term, but we need those who are here for shorter periods of time. I don't care if you're here for 6 months, for 2 years, for 20 years. We need you. And we need you to open your hearts and your lives and not pursue a path of isolation. And the second thing, question is, so what are you doing? What are you doing to go that path of connection? What are you doing to invest in other people? Where are you showing? You know, here's the truth. We have our joint worship services with the German church. And I can count on some people I know who are going to be here, but I also know that's not going to be high attendance Sunday. It's not just us, by the way. That's also true of the German congregation. So how about we teach that it's important that we not isolate? How about we lead and be the ones to say, we will be there? It's a little different. It's a little challenging, but we will lead. So my question is, one, which path have you chosen? And secondly, how are you making it happen? Where is it playing itself out in your life? Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come together, Father, I'm so grateful that this body of Christ that meets here is such an incredible picture of the kingdom. Thank you. Father, you have brought together such a wonderful assortment of people together and brought them together and created something unique and beautiful. And Father, we just simply want to be obedient. We want to be the body that you've called us to be. We are unique. We are not like anybody else. And so we just believe that you have a unique thing that you want to do through us. And we want to be obedient. Father, help us as individuals not to isolate ourselves. Help us as a body not to isolate ourselves, but to pursue relationships in ways that we learn, we grow, and we share, and we teach. Father, do that which only you can do. And we pray this in your name. Amen.